Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie Martinez-Rafe.
And you've just joined us on This Is Real.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you. Hey, new set to This Is Real, a show with real people, real problems, and real solutions. And guess what? This is where we get real and raw. And I get super excited. I mean, I get super excited all the time, but I'm super excited today because I feel like this is one of those suddenly episodes. He gets to break open the new studio, and it gets me excited because, you know, there wasn't a lot of planning to this one. This was like, boom, Lord puts it in my heart. I reach out to somebody, and then boom, they give me his number. I call him. So help me welcome our guest today on This Is Real, Luis Romero. What's up?
What's up, man? It's great in here. It looks awesome.
Thanks, bro. Hey, listen, you're the first person in the set.
Man, the right person.
Hey, you make it look good. I love the jacket. You know, I like the swag, man.
No, I like this carpet. It's crazy. If they can see it on here, it says, what does it say? Let's tell everybody.
We are Hevekins.
Hevekins, which is the brand.
Yeah, so
love it.
Yo, check it out. If you're from Mexico, you're Mexican. If you're from Puerto Rico, you're Puerto Rican, right? If you're from Africa, you're African. If you're a citizen of heaven, you're a Hevekin.
I love it. I love it.
Shout out to Off-White. You know, we got the Off-White vibe.
The inspiration. Thank you for having me, Pastor.
Yeah, man. Appreciate no, listen, man. So you hear about people.
Yeah.
Right? I've heard about you, right? So that's and good things. Yeah. Like it wasn't like back in the day when we heard about you and we're like, what? You know?
Yeah.
So it was good things. And then, I don't know, I went down this little rabbit hole, right? I'm like, man, I thought I saw you once on social media, but then it disappeared.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone.
I deleted my Instagram.
So I was like, where did he go?
He blocked me. Everybody thought I blocked him. I was like, what?
So then I go, hey, well, because I didn't really know you. So I didn't know if I followed or nothing. I just kind of went looking for you because I think your name got connected to like Ciervo Fest and all the Ciervos. And so I was like, okay. And even that, I was kind of familiar with it, but like I told you, I'm not from here. So it's like, you know, you're just kind of doing life, right? And so whoever you meet in my life out here, I feel like, okay, it's the Lord. So now I'm supposed to meet him. But heard about you. So I found out you weren't inspired. So then, you know, you keep going down the line. It's like you're looking for the plug back in the day, right? And so, like, I'm like, okay, Andrew Heard, Pastor Andrew. So I'm like, yo, you know this guy? And he's like, yeah, youth pastor, right? So then I'm like, okay. So that's how I got your number. And so for those that don't know, that happened this past week. Yeah. And then I'm just like, hey. And so thank you for actually making some time.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that was 2 days ago.
That was two days ago.
Andrew, stop giving my number away.
Yo, so here it is. Okay, before we get into... So right now you're a youth pastor.
I'm a youth pastor.
For Inspire.
Inspire.
Okay, you married?
I'm married.
How long?
I've been married 2 years now.
What?
So fresh, still learning.
Yo,
two
man.
Years.
You know, you just entered the Dr. Love thing because, that's my AKA. Juan Martinez, AKA Dr. Love.
That's what
I love marriage. Yeah, really? I'm passionate about marriage.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, I'm here for you.
Thank you.
Then there's this big thing that happens in Houston. And maybe around, I'm not sure, so maybe you can highlight on that, but it's called Ciervo.
Yeah.
Right? So that we got that going on. Before we start talking about any of those things, because I there is some topics I want to talk about. I even put some questions.
Let's go. I'm ready to get real. Man. If we ain't going to get real, I'm going to leave.
Let's do it. Okay, so.
That's why I deleted my social media. So, like, I could just be real and nobody come for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, so check it out. Okay, so before that, tell me a little bit about, like, just real quick, maybe where you work. Because they're going to hear all this stuff.
Right.
Right? Because people usually hear, oh, this person, it depends who we're interviewing, right? And they're like, oh, man, he's doing these big things.
Right.
But there was probably a time in your story where it was messy.
Right.
Right? And then sometimes we have messiness even in Christianity. But I want to know before you came to Christ, because how old are you right now?
I'm 29.
29. You make 29 look good, man. Hold up. 29. Okay. So 29 years old. What did it look like growing up for you?
Yeah, man. Growing up, I'm a product of two immigrants.
Okay.
From Mexico, Michoacán. Saguayo, to be exact. I'm a middle child, older brother, younger sister. My parents migrated to L.A. when I wasn't even born yet. So it was just my brother, my mom, and dad that migrated to L.A. My dad was always going to L.A. He was moving dope. Being a chef at the same time, trying to figure it out. And back then, you can cross so easy the border. Like, I remember what year this was. So he was going to L.A. to work, and then he'll come back home. And eventually, he's like, hey, we're moving to L.A. So he moved to L.A., and then, like, I don't know, 9 months later, I was born. So I was born in L.A., Orange County. Wow. I don't claim it because I don't know anything. You know, yeah. I don't want to be that boy that's like, oh, I'm from L.A. and I don't know anything just for the hype. And we moved to Oakland, which is up north. Yeah. So there's the Bay Bridge on the other side of that is Oakland and San Francisco.
They're
so
doing their thing right now in music and all that, right?
They're doing great.
The Bay.
Yeah, I mean, the Bay. Know. Shout out Miles Minnick, man. Which was one of my first artists ever, but we'll talk about that later. I've never told that story before.
We get that.
So
the
we
hot,
got that.
The hot press. Go ahead.
I was raised in Oakland my whole life. My dad, like I said, he stopped doing the dope thing. He was always a chef, so he started working, had his own restaurant. And my whole life, like, I just had strict parents. I wanted to be a surgeon my whole life, bro. Like,
really?
I loved it. Like, in the summer, my dad put me in these programs where I was at the morgue. Like, we're seeing a brain chopped up in four. Like, it's insane. Like, I loved it. And I just loved being in the doctor. I was not afraid of blood. I just, like, man, I want to be a surgeon one day. And I was just this little nerd walking around school with a shark backpack. I used to love sharks. My dad would take me to the Monterey Bay Aquarium. And we'll hang out there. And I was just... I don't know. I didn't know anything about, I don't know, life or problems. I was just a young kid. But I was fast forward. I was in eighth grade and my mom and dad got a divorce. So that's where like my whole life took a change. My parents got a divorce. Wow. And I was just like, what is this? My mom sat me, my brother, and my younger sister down. And I didn't know what it was. So I was like, oh, we're getting a divorce. I thought it was a thing. Like, yeah. What is a divorce? Is it a type of dog? Like, is it a car? Yeah, like, is it a Porsche divorce? Like, what is this? You know what I'm saying? Sure. And then my brother's like, no, stupid. Like, they're leaving. Like, they're not going to be together. And they just like, what do you mean they're not going to be together? So it's still, I was so young. It didn't make sense. A divorce is not a thing in our family, mom's side or dad's side. I never thought that would happen. I never thought that would happen, but it happened. So my mom picks up my little sister, looks at me in my face, and my brother. She's like, hey, I'm leaving y'all. I found a new family. Mind you, I'm probably, I don't know, 10, 12 years old. 11
and your mom
years
booked
old.
It.
This is my mom. My mom booked it. My dad comes back from work, and he's like, where's your mom? And then my brother's crying, telling him, and that's when it all hit. Like, I literally see my dad. I still see this picture in my head when my dad dropped to his knees, just hugged us and just embraced us and just crying. And I've never seen my dad cry. That was the only time. And then he just says, all right, sons, I'm going to be here for y'all. So my dad, he stepped up. He was there, raised me and my brother. Mom eventually came back in the picture, won custody. And I didn't want to be with my mom. You know what I'm saying?
She booked it.
Because she booked it. It's just that hate was in my heart. Mm. I was a mama's boy. And I became a daddy's boy because I like, my mama's not here. She left me. So I was so hurt by all of that. And then obviously trying to transition from going to a private school to going to a public school. Now, I was at a private school. My dad was paying for that. Bills got tough. Lawyers, so he couldn't pay for that. So now I'm
Catholic private school?
No, it was a college preparatory academy. So it wasn't Catholic.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't Catholic, but we did grow up Catholic.
Yeah, no, totally.
And my mom,
I feel you. We talked about that.
Yeah, my
bit.
Mom was the catechism teacher.
What?
So you have to say all your prayers, sir, before you get baptized.
Oh, yeah.
So
no.
We were at Catholic church.
Hail Mary,
all the
act
time,
of contrition, all
of it. All
that.
I was behind the priest with the incense, bro.
Nah,
like,
you
I
weren't.
Was with the little, I'm like,
hey,
wearing the thing, oh, I bring the Biblia, the big old
no
Bible,
way.
Bring it up, they break the thing.
Oh,
for
I gotta
the,
see pictures.
Yeah, no, it's wild.
Okay.
Wiping the gold cup for the priest to drink it, doing everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
While this divorce is going on. So I'm still going to church because my dad was very religious, very Catholic, and we're going to church and this happened. So now I get kicked out of the school. I have to go to public school because we couldn't afford it. And I'm at this public school. While I'm here, it's, yo, you got to pick a color, red or blue. And I'm like, what's going on? Mind you, I'm just little boy, don't know nothing, never been in a fight, never seen anything, a blunt, drugs. And I remember I had to pick a color, and I'm like, I'm not going to pick no color. Like, I don't want to be blood or crib. So then there was this big riot, blacks against Mexicans, you know what I'm saying? I can't pick. I'm obviously Mexican.
Yeah.
I got jumped at the bus stop, got jumped pretty bad. And from that day moving forward, I was just mad at God. I was so mad. I was so upset. I hated God. And I remember telling God at the bus stop, bleeding, like, what did I do to get here? I didn't do anything. I hate you, God. Like, I literally said those words. I was so upset. And my life was just so mad. The next day, I was like, yo, what we doing? And I joined the gang. And we joined the gang. And I was just painting all over the walls. I was upset. I wasn't coming home. My dad's worried about me. And that's it. I moved in with my aunt. I was so bad, I had to move in with my aunt. And I got into these gangs, tagging on the walls. That's why I became so creative, writing on the walls. And then I started working at a phone store. replacing phones that like broken screens. Yeah, yeah. So I'm replacing the broken screens, making a little bit of money there. And
when you get sick, like, okay, so you, all this is happening.
All this is going on. That's what, okay, I was about to go to get and say.
Okay, yeah. Dope. What happens?
So what happens, man, I'm working at the store. I'm like, yo, I don't want to be in this gang no more. Let me get some clean money, because I was selling a little bit of weed. I wasn't doing too much. And then at school, somebody came and gave me a flyer.
At school?
At my school. So now I'm in high school.
High school.
Somebody gives me a flyer to come to this
church. Evangelizing the high school. That's dope.
Evangelizing. So this is nothing new. You know what I'm saying? We see it now. I'm a product of it.
Yeah.
And they came and I was like, okay, cool. And I just brought all my boys. But we went there to fight somebody.
Yeah.
And we didn't go to church. We're like, hey, let's go there. He's going to be there and we can fight at the church. We won't get in trouble. So we went, jumped somebody. And then the pastors were so upset. They called the cops. Like, man, what are y'all doing? But loved on us, and then I came back next week, and we would leave. So we would have, like, games, hang out, basketball, whatever, and then the service would start, and we would always leave. It's Friday night. Our service was Friday night. So my boys are driving. We're trying to smoke. We're trying to go party. But one Friday night, I stayed back, and they were trolling me. They're like, oh, you going to stay? And I was like, bro, I'll meet y'all later. Don't worry about me. Like, do your thing. And that's when I heard about a man named Jesus, and I heard about a man named Jesus that loved me.
Wow.
And I don't know, I just felt this void in my life of my mom walking out, like Jesus literally stepping in and filling that void for me. And I felt so much joy. I just feel it right now, even just remembering that moment, like, man, who is this Jesus? I want more of this Jesus. I want more of God. The pastor says, hey, come to the altar and give your all to Jesus if you want to give your life to him. I don't know what that means. I told you this on the phone. I had 2 ounces of weed on my pocket. I come up and I dump it on the stage. Everybody's like, security. What's going on? Yeah. Flush it down the toilet. I had a mouthful of gold. Take it off. Flush that down the toilet. And the next day, I just began to get discipled by these people. And I was just on fire by God. And I didn't go to that party on Friday night. I went back to school and everybody was trolling me like, you gave your life to the Lord, huh? You know how that be, bro. You know how it be your friends.
Totally.
And I was like, yeah, I did. So that's how I gave my life to the Lord. I was 15 years old when that happened.
Wow. Yeah, I went home a couple years ago and went to one of my friends from the block, like Sweet 16 for his daughter. And when I walked in, they were like, oh, I'm going to burn. You know, I was like, bro, y'all crazy as hell. Like,
you are. You are going to burn. You're playing, but you are.
Yeah. But it's just this whole, you know, when we used to go to church and you touch the water.
Yeah.
You know, you always you get nervous because you think, you know. And all those sayings that people say, like, yo, the roof's going to fall when I go there. You know, just a bunch of excuses to really not step into the thing. So, yeah, they joke on you hardcore, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So now, when did you start ministry? When did you, like, you know, because you're a pastor now.
Yeah.
Right? You're a student's pastor. When did that take place? Like, when did you say yes to the call? Like, when did you know, like, okay, I'm going to be a pastor?
Yeah. After giving my life to the Lord, I was, like I said, I was being discipled by my youth pastors, which they were the greatest example ever. I moved in with them. I got kicked out of my house because I was Catholic. All my family's Catholic. Like, you Christian? Oh, no, we're not doing that.
You set tripping.
I'm out.
At that point.
Yeah. So I'm like, I moved in with them. It was better. I was doing bad. And I moved in with them. So I'm being discipled. And I was like, yo, I'm going to start a Jesus club in my school. So I started a Jesus club in my school. So I'm like, yo, bring a bus and I'm going to fill it up. And they're like, Lou, chill, bro. What do you mean? I'm like, I promise you, bring me a bus to Skyline High School, and I'm going to fill it up with kids.
That's dope.
So they bought a bus, and we filled it up with kids. So now we're bringing all of my friends and people we're reaching at the school to service at church. And that's when I was like, I want to do this, Lord. Teach me how to do this. Give me your grace. Give me your wisdom. I want to do this for the rest of my life. I want the people that need you to go experience you, Jesus, experience Jesus in a different way like never before. Because there was this ministry that was killing it. But my boys in the hood would never have access to that if nobody knew about it. So that's when I said, I want to show people who Jesus is, but also have a good time. So that's when I was called to ministry, where I felt that calling in my life at 15, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I graduated high school at 16, early 16 and a half. And then right after I graduated high school, I came to Houston to go to Bible college. 2 weeks after graduating, I packed a bag, told my mom, even though I wasn't living with them, yo, I'm going to Houston. But just 1 year, mom, I'm going to go to Houston. I'm going to try this Jesus thing out. And they're like, ah, mijo, whatever. Everybody thought I was lying. I just had one duffel bag, and I came to Houston to go to Bible college at CT Church off of Fuquay and 45. They had a Bible college there. Yeah. And I just wanted to get out of Houston, out of Cali. So that's when I started ministry. Well, started theology school.
Yeah.
And then that following year after that, at 17, I went into full-time ministry with Young Life, which is a high school ministry.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that since 17, man, full time. I haven't been back home 12, 13 years later. I told my mom one year, I stayed here, found my wife here. You know, a prophet ain't welcome in his own hometown. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was like, Houston embraced me. I love it. I'm here. So, yeah.
Okay, tap into the Siervo thing. So, okay, so you said you go there and they're hosting Siervo. So what is Siervo? Who started Siervo? How'd you wind up in Siervo? Because you... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, how we started Siervo. So that's how I ended up at Inspire. That's what I'm doing there. How I started Siervo was...
So you started that?
Mm-hmm.
Siervo.
I started Siervo, but it really was called Young Light in 2013, and people don't know that. It's people that know. And we have those followers, that fam that knows, bro. In 2013, we did a conference called Young Light, and that's when we were trying to book any artist from Houston, and that time Houston was booming.
Yeah,
like it was the number one city for Christian hip hop. Nobody responded to my email. I don't blame him. I ain't mad at y'all. I still love y'all. Like I was nobody, still nobody. Just little Lou. I think I had like 500.
It really does suck.
But that's why now when I see people that, never mind, 500 okay, bucks. I have 500 bucks. Right. I got 500 bucks. I emailed everybody. I'm not about to say the rapper's name.
Yeah, and they were
nothing.
Don't do it.
I was like, bet, cool. I'm not offended. Don't take it personal. It's ministry.
Yeah.
I didn't take it personal. And then I DM'd Social Club. And I was like, this is a lot of faith. Social Club was in their prime.
I know,
this
is Marty and Firm.
They were doing the thing. They had just released a song called Pizza Party. And I'm like, whatever. If I could do it, then I don't need God. So let me dream so big for him to come through. And I DM'd them. They're like, we'd love to be there. So we did this event at CT Church.
Tony, do it.
Bro, hey, it was like a 1,000 people. Mind you, I'm the host. I'm opening the doors. I'm running the sound, running the lights, hosting the thing. My brother Joey, I met a boy named Joey at Bible College. He was the only Latino in an all predominantly white college. So we connected. I'm like, bro, can you help me with this? He's like, yeah, I'd love to help you. So it's me and my boy Joey did this conference called Young Light. We're like, bro, what just happened? And then every rapper that told us no from Houston was there that night. And I was just like, bro, what the heck? So my pride was like, bro, we try to have you here. And one of them was like, hey, I could do a set right now. I told my boy Joey. And I was like, heck yeah, bro. But then I felt God told me, say no, son. Say no. And I was like, why not? Like, bro, I wanted him to be here. He's going to be here for free.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, bro. Like,
hey, God's dealing with everybody.
Yeah. I'm like, come on. And God's like, no. And I'm like, what you mean, God? Like, they're going to do it for free. No. And I was like, okay. And now I know we're just adding value to it.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, son? So anyways, that happened. And then we did it every year, 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Come 2021, God tells us, switch the name to Siervo Fest. Switch the name of the ministry from Young Light to, because it was Young Light and Young Light Conference. And then it was Siervos. Switch the event to Siervo Fest. In 2021, we brought out Naomi from Maverick City, Joel. I don't even remember who all it was. And it was with my brother Abraham at an Encourager Church. So then he came with me. We partnered together, and we did Siervo Fest for the first year at Encourager Church. And it was wild. Helicopter was out. People are getting told. KSBJ is out. It's insane. And we're just like, we don't know this will happen. It started raining. The first act went on stage, and it was pouring. It was 13 people. And I just remember praying, like, whatever, Lord, like, you told me to do this. I'm telling God, it's because we switched the name. It's because we switched the name. This ain't on me. I'm good. The event is free. We're in charge of dollars, so it's good. Bro, I don't know what happened. What does? It's God. It ain't crazy. It's God. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
Bro, it was over 4,000 people out there. Wow. Where did they park? We have no idea. But it was over 4,000 people, and it was amazing. That's how Siervo Fest started, and that's where the ministry Siervo started. And Siervo started by us crossing the border and helping the migrants that were stuck in the border that couldn't get over. So we made a bunch of T-shirts. So it was a merchandise. So in order for you to get this shirt, you had to make a donation. So you make a donation with it. And it's not money. It's never been money. It's been toys, clothes, toiletries, whatever you can bring. Me and my boy drove over to Mexico at the border. And the cartel's like, yo, what y'all doing at the plaza? And we're like, hey, we're just trying to give this stuff away to the people. And they just stood there and watched us, make sure we did that. And we came back. And from then, people were like, yo, we rock with Siervos. What is this? And it was really just all the Siervitos, bro. You have so many parents that don't speak English, but you have the second generation, first generation that are like, ma, that ain't it. Like, I like to listen to Lil Hip Hop. I don't want to listen to Marcos Witt no more, which is all love. Like, they want to listen to Miel San Marcos, and they want to listen to Paul Wall, which is what we had at Siervo Fest. Somebody said, this is chaotic. I'm like, that's my life. Welcome to my life. I've never fit in with the Latinos at the church because I had long hair, so they kicked me out. So I walk into a church like Von Juan's church back in the day, and he embraced me. I felt like home. And then I go to another church. I'm like, bro, where am I? I feel like God has called us to reach everybody, but in a specific season is the siervos, the siervitos that are like, bro, like, I come from that. We do the alabanza, we do the corritos, we do all of it, but that's just not me. That's my roots. Yeah. So that's how Siervo Fest started, and that's where we are now celebrating our fifth year, and it's going to be fun,
What's the
man.
Next one?
The next one's July 5th.
And what happens there? What happens in July 5th? Who's going to be there?
July 5th, I don't know who we have so far, man. I can't give all the artists, but let me remember who we have. I forgot who we have on us. We posted who we have.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm not even gonna try to remember because I might leak something that if somebody could pull up the IG, but I forgot what it was. I know we have What Up RG. Who else do we have? Dariana, bro, Dariana, I'm telling you, I'm so excited about her being here. She lives in Canada. She's Latina, bro. It's like the Christian Rosalia. Like, people ain't ready for that. Like, she is good. Who else do we have? Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, look. So we got What Up RG. Swayze is crazy. Okay. You got to bring him to get rap for something for the youth. He's wild. Kodoku, man, he's insane. He made a song. He just started going viral. He just gave his life to the Lord. And this is what we do at Siervos. We try to put people on.
Yeah.
So when I reached out to Kodoku, I was like, hey, man, I feel like you need to be a part of this. Like, whatever it takes for you to be here. But I just feel like God is telling us to give you an opportunity to be here. And he said, yo, I just gave my life to the Lord. He used to make secular music, like R&B music. He's like, people are coming for me. He's like, I don't want to be there and you take the hit for it because now I'm trying to do Christian music.
Yeah.
And I said, this is why we built Siervo Fest, to take the hit for it. For you to share your testimony, for you to share your story. We ain't in politics. That's why we don't take checks from like mega church, or we really don't take a lot of checks from like Christian organizations so that they can't tell us who we can and can't do, because we get into the politics. So Siervos is like, God funds it so that we can be like, yo, we'll take the hit. And it's not like, oh, that church helped that or funded that. For artists like Kodoku, who's not wild, you'll look at his music and be like, yo, this is fire.
Yeah.
He's trending online right now, but he just gave his life to the Lord. So he's coming, and then we got more people coming.
But that was always the beef, right? Like, the Pharisees were always like, Jesus, you're sitting with these sinners.
Yeah, always.
And so at the end of the day, just because you are sitting with sinners, right, as long as y'all ain't blowing and y'all ain't all drinking, the whole goal is for them to see somebody different and feel the love that they've never felt, right? That's kind of what you're saying, like, to feel that grace and that mercy. How else are they going to see that? How else are people going to see that if we don't show it, right? And they were doing music. And you'd rather have your kids there than have your kids at the club, the bar.
Literally, which is amazing.
Or even young adults, right?
What happens at Siervo Fest, bro, you have the younger kids and then you have the parents. So there's something literally for everybody, all ages, all ethnicities. So
yeah, because hip hop, I mean, it's doing its thing now in Christian music, because I don't know. I'm born in the fire, but I'm also born in hip hop.
Yeah.
And from a New York thing, right? Yeah. So like, for me, lyrics matter. Like, sometimes I'm like, somebody needs to tell this dude, you know, because everybody at one point wanted a Christian rap, right? Because it became the thing. So I'm going to rap. And I'm like, but you're not good at it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, at the end of the day,
how do you say that to somebody? So
I have at a table. Yeah, because what happens is that sometimes we were at this table. This is years
ago. Yeah, I know
ago.
What table you're talking about.
Yeah. So we were at this table. And you know, everybody's like, yo, go ahead. But they're really laughing. And so I took the moment to tell, you know, pull the dude to the side. And I told him, look, I'm not saying, like, you can't ever rap. I'm just saying, I don't think that's your gift. Now, prove me wrong and practice that thing, but they're just laughing at you, right?
Yeah.
So the reality is that I think we owe it to ourselves to actually say, like, right? Like, I can hold a note, you know, and at church sometimes I'm preaching and I might go after it, but it don't mean I'm gonna write an album.
Right.
Because I'm not a singer. Now I'm a mouthpiece. Like, give me a crowd, I'm bringing heaven. I'm gonna bring heaven.
Right.
But I'm not a rapper. Like, even though I jam to it, so it's hard for me to just jam. Like, that's why I like a lot of the rap that's coming out right now, and I hear it because I'm 53.
Yeah.
And for you to really, like, for me to listen, you got to make
you
me,
gotta
like,
really, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Have
like,
you heard of Mike Elvey?
Yeah, okay, that's I was going to tell you. Hey, that's look at Bodega.
Bodega. Bodega. You'll
so,
love him.
So, yeah, okay, I sent him a message because yeah. I know he's coming, and he's like, yo, when I'll bless the studio when he yeah. comes, right? So, yeah. Haha. So, but again, I see him taking all these rappers, and yeah, they're jamming out, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, this is fire, right?
Now so they're really rapping.
Yeah, and that's my point, right? Like, we're mm-hmm. supposed to be better than the world.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm saying God gives everybody the gift, so let me rephrase that. You know, you have a gift from God, and you're really good at it. But, like, if you're gifted in the world, they're not going to let you come without your gift. Over right. here, you should have a gift too, right? But just because everybody's rapping don't mean you're a rapper, and just because everybody's talking don't mean you're, you know, like,
right.
like I feel like we need to be more, like, hey, practice for a little bit, then bring me your product, right? And that's kind of just my thing. And I guess because I love hip-hop, right? I'm, like, growing up with, like, KRS-One and all these cats where they right. were, like, lyricists, right? And now it's like, yo, look, you know, Jesus, the blood. And it's like, oh, we got to yeah. do a little better than that, yeah. you know, even though I love Jesus and the blood, right? So I judge hip hop a little harsh,
yeah.
right? Because and rightly so, I think, because you know we don't want to look crazy. So I'm really on the banner and catching that wave that hip hop is just getting better in the Christian realm, better and better and better and better and better. You know, D1 is kind of having this whole yeah. beef with the whole all the worldly rappers. You know,
yeah.
so it's like you know it's kind of cool to be a part of it in this season, right? Because again, we you know, so in my journey, you know, I did some John Maxwell. I've done a lot of things just to kind of educate myself. Got my doctorate last year. So all congrats, of these things, man. Thanks, bro. But never really been about the accolade. The thing is still sitting on my floor in my house. I haven't really put it up. But, like, I just wanted to get closer to Jesus. But again, the you know, when they see you coming, like, I like hip-hop, and I'm raised in the streets. And so I want to give you proper theology, but I want to take something that's deep and make it simple so that the common, everybody could understand it,
right?
Right? Because what good is it if I start talking about dispensation of angels or, right. you know, Arminianism and Calvinism and all that, and you don't understand what I'm saying? So when usually, you know, you came off the street, you came on drugs, you know, you sometimes I feel like you people look at the outward appearance, so it's like automatically, you know, you might not get into like certain circuits or whatever, right? That's a whole nother conversation, but that usually kind of happens.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Because, you know, oh, prison, you almost get the pat on the back. Everybody wants us to be the poster child for, oh, we're helping the inmate, you know, but not truly helping them because yeah. you came from it.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
No, I hear you.
It just totally hits different. But man, I'm really feeling I haven't been to one. I've never been to Cerebral. I know April over there, she's been to she's all been right. She goes, she's the one. All the young people keep me plugged in. Right,
that's
you know what
it.
Saying?
That's why you gotta keep it.
Right
around,
now
man.
I'm like looking at yo, who I gotta go
yeah,
see.
Yeah, yeah.
But you gotta so man, that's super dope. Super dope. So they gotta come out. Where's it gonna be? July 5th?
July 5th, no location yet.
No location yet. Okay.
No location Woo! Yet. No location.
Hey,
but the tickets are live. The tickets only $15, so y'all better get them before they go up. No location.
That's super dope.
Not the full lineup. But those that been to Seattle Fest know what's up. April know what's up. Like yeah. it's an experience, and we say that like with not pride or boasting, but like proud. Like, yo, God chose us to create this space and encourage a lot of the people to start festivals in yep. those cities and do what they're doing. But July 5th, man, no location yet.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I don't know. I just had a random thought, and I like going on random. So I'm going to buy 5 tickets from you.
Let's go.
Okay, I'm going to buy 5 tickets from you, and how we're going to do it, I haven't figured it out. April could give me a head nod or not.
Okay.
I think how we're going to do it is, you know, under the video or under some video that we put out, whether it's this one, I'm thinking this one, start putting in the comments, start tagging people that you kind of want to go to this thing, and we'll pick 5 people instead of Cerebral Fest this year.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean,
let's
I can't
go,
be
man.
That. Like, that's another thing. I can't be like, yo, that's awesome, and then not support it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
I think, like, I don't know if I can, because I don't have my calendar in front of me, so I don't know if I'm here July 5th or not, but maybe I'll go check this out if I'm
wherever
here.
You there, just
but
hit
if
me.
I'm not, then I should support you. Right,
you there? Just know we're gonna be hanging out.
Oh,
man.
That's dope. That's dope.
That's
man.
Gonna be dope. July 5th.
That's dope, man. We got maybe we can get some of the artists through here, man. I don't know if you know,
yeah.
kind of talk about their experience in Cerebral Fest and all that. So maybe we could chit chat about that after. But okay, so now I want to ask you some other questions.
Yeah, come on, okay. Let's get real.
So What's one thing about your story that's messy that made you who you are today? Yeah. Hey, straight for the
one thing about my story
that's messy, right? Whether in Christ or out of Christ, right? Because I know we're all growing, and I like look. I'm always talking about it's not really to pull the person's business out, but I feel like when we're open books,
it's testimony, vulnerability.
I think somebody else might be going through something right now that might definitely because there ain't nothing new under the sun, and because we're also gonna talk how you got out of it, you know. But these things made you who you are today. Right. If it wasn't for some of those things, you wouldn't be who you are. You're still a heart surgeon. Yeah. You know, on my Instagram, I got Dr. Love, heart surgeon. And when I go on a plane and I'm talking to somebody and they say, hey, what you because they see the doctor.
Yeah.
And they go, what do you do? And I go, I'm a heart surgeon. And so then they start talking. Really? Oh, my God. And so then I say, yeah, what I usually do is I got to go deep and actually pull out things that have right. lies.
Right, right. I see. You know?
So I start going yeah. through this whole heart thing, and at the end, I hit them with Jesus, and they're like, no. Nah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a heart surgeon. Yeah, yeah I go after the heart.
That's good, man.
So you're still a heart surgeon.
A thing that's messy about me, or what's messy about me.
About your story, yeah.
About my story.
That made you who you are today.
That made me who I am today. Ministry, bro.
Okay.
But I love this question because it's literally made me who I am today. It's just, I start off with this just saying continuing to show up no matter what.
That's dope.
I remember I was in, I think I've shared this before. I don't know if I have, but it's real. So let's keep it real.
Yeah.
Something that was messy in my life and a part of my story was just for so long, there was a moment in my life where when I was working at the store, bro, it was a store, and I was just repairing screens for phones, for money, to try to live for Jesus, stop selling dope. But it was like I couldn't get away from it. One day I was at the phone store, and I go to the back, and there was a box. And the boss tells me, get this box and give this box to a guy that's going to come in.
Yeah.
He's going to give you another box. And I'm like, cool, whatever. It's phones, chargers, whatever.
Yeah.
I give him the box. I take the box he gives me. I put it in the back, and I open it, and there's nothing but bricks of coke. And I'm like, bruh, here we go. So he sees the camera. He saw I opened up the thing. He said, hey, you already saw it. You're in. And I'm like, well, wait a second. I'm in what? Like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah.
Bro, I ain't going to tell nobody. Like, yeah. I got this Jesus club at school. Like, bro, what do you mean? Like, I'm bringing a van. He's yeah. like, nah, bro, you come on. I'm like, what do you mean, come on? We shut the store down. He tells me everything that's going on. They're just cleaning money through there. Cartel comes by. I remember having to take fake fingerprints out of people's hands, burning credit cards, all of it, bro. It was just so messy. So I'm trying to live for God, right? Like I'm bringing people to church, bringing my youth ministry to church. And at the same time, I'm over here counting all this money and making sure that these people are just using the store to come and do their things.
Yeah. So now you got to make a choice.
So now I got to make a choice. But it was so messy, but it made me who I am today. It was a part of my story of like, when I preach with so much like, yo, we're all there. Every time we get on the stage to preach, there's somebody that has a 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And that Sunday, they're coming to say, man, Lord, help me have my both feet in with you. Help me go all in with you.
Yeah.
Help me let go of this. Whether I didn't even want it, whether it was a generational curse in my life, or it was just something that I didn't walk into, or whether it was me that put my both 2 feet there, but I don't want to be there no more. They come and they're showing up. So when I look at the audience, it made me part of who I am today is, yo, there's somebody saying, God, give me a sign, give me something for me to just go all in with you. Super so it was dope. A messy part. It was messy. It was yeah. trying to do ministry and then selling this dough, making so much money. I didn't have it. Mom and pop are still there. I like the nice things in my life.
Totally.
That's my culture. I come to church. They see me like this. I inspire youth. They're like, wait a second. You're the youth pastor? Yeah, this is how I am. I'm used to this. Like, yeah. this is what I grew up with. I'm not going to – I'll put the suit on when I have to, but that's not how I came.
Yeah.
So it's a part of my life that was messy, but it made me how I am today or took an effect, but it's also how I approach ministry.
And that's a wrap.
Thank you. This is Real Family for joining us. You can be a part of the crew by following us on social media or writing us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267.
And don't forget, stay real.